Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 718. Sorry. The topic is nutrition, and the title is Good versus Bad Food. That phrasing comes up very often when I'm talking with clients. Whether they have a good food or a bad food, or what is good, or is this good, or is this bad. And that phrasing is something that it's important to consider what foods can do for us, or what they do against us, in regards to against our goals. But are there foods that are actually good? Are there foods that are actually bad? And I wanted to take today's podcast to discuss two factors that we need to consider when deciding whether a food we're eating is the right food for us at that moment, or whether it's the wrong food. Therefore, it'll make it a good food or a bad food. What's going to be beneficial for us is the answer to that changes. Therefore, sometimes when we get what seems like conflicting advice in the nutrition world, we can have a better understanding as to why sometimes that advice is right and why sometimes that advice is wrong. Meaning it might not be conflicting. There might be times where the advice is right, and there might be times where the advice is wrong. So let's talk about two factors today. We'll get into a little bit, give some examples, and hopefully this will give you some clarity on how to better select the right foods for you. So the first thing we're going to look at is amount. The calories in versus calories out kind of concept. We've talked about in past podcasts, especially podcast number 41, titled Diet Right, What Matters Most. We talked about the most impactful components of a diet, whether this is a diet for fat loss, diet for like weight gain, muscle gain, diet for sport performance, a diet for any intended purpose. The most impactful component is calories. No matter how good of food I eat, quote unquote good, if I eat too much, I will gain fat. No matter how bad of food I eat, if I eat the right amount of a deficit, I will lose fat. I have actually written diets for clients who used a McDonald's fast food menu because of various circumstances, and you'll have no clue what I'm talking about. So they had a special needs child, and they had a lot of external demands placed on them, and it was a pretty extreme life. They're doing the best they can with it, and they just wanted some feeling of being in control when it came to their nutrition. They knew it wasn't perfect, but they just wanted it to be better than what it was due to all the demands and various things that they had to do. Their breakfast was they would drive past McDonald's, stop and get food. They would work their lunch hour. And right across from where they worked, it was actually in the same building. It was on the first floor of the same building, was a McDonald's. And then they would drive past that same McDonald's that they went to on the way to work. They would drive past on the way from work home. They would then get home, do their family needs, their requirements for everything that they needed to do, and then they'd pass out and go to bed. And this person worked really long hours. They were a really good person. They had a very tough circumstance. So rather than me beating them up over what they could or couldn't control, we started the diet. Doesn't mean we ended here, but we started with, okay, if you're going to eat at McDonald's, here's how to eat best. So McDonald's might be some people's opinion of a bad food, but it was a better food. We got the person to do better than what they were doing before. We then progressed the diet past the McDonald's menu, but it was a good representation of good versus bad food. Was that food bad? Or could we make it good by making the right choices? So we controlled our calories, and that helped us get the result we wanted, even though we were using quote-unquote bad food. So, that's something we want to consider. The amount of food determines whether it's a good or bad food. So I can eat all the organic, you know, natural whatever that's out there in the world, but if I eat too much, I will gain fat. Or if I eat too much, I can actually prevent fat loss. This happens all the time. So we talk about the components of a diet. We said number one was calories. Number two is protein content, which kind of leads into macronutrient balance. Am I having enough carbs and fats and proteins? Third thing is timing. When am I having my calories? When am I having the carbs, fats, and proteins? And am I having, you know, like we said, within the calories, am I having the right amount? Am I having the right distribution? That's number two, like we said. And number three was timing. Number four was macronutrient quality. So whether something's organic or not, whether something is, you know, whole wheat or white, that really only matters if you first addressed calories, macronutrient distribution, and meal timing. I have to already know, am I eating the right amount of food? Am I eating the right balance of the foods I have? And am I eating them at the right time? I need to know all of that before what I'm eating, the quality of what I'm eating, really makes a difference. So, when we look at the amount, whether I'm having the right amount or not, that also is dependent on timing. If I'm highly active, then I can have a high amount of the food. If I'm not very active, I have low activity, then I would want a low amount of the food. The number one mistake that everyone makes is they undereat during the day and they overeat at night. Every single person makes this mistake. That's the first thing, that's one of the first things I address with my clients. We have a meal timing concept all the time, no matter what kind of structure of a diet they're following. They always have to make choices in their foods based on the timing. How much should I have at this meal based on what time of the day is it and how active am I at that time? That helps to dictate the right amount. Calories are a minute-by-minute concept. Our body uses calories at all times. My body is using calories for me to talk through to make this podcast. That's one of the flaws of intermittent fasting diets. Intermittent fasting helps control body weight, but it doesn't maximize body composition or how well you feel during the diet. Intermittent fasting can control body weight. It can make your weight go up or it can make your weight go down. But it does not lead to the best body composition, and it does not lead to the best overall feeling throughout the day in regards to digestion, in regards to daily energy, in regards to daily mood, things like that. The reason why is intermittent fasting, the way it's typically structured, involves a period of time, an extended period of time, where you're using your body in a deficit, a caloric deficit. You're not fueling it for use. Then, at a deemed point of the day, the person will overconsume their calories, way above what they need in that very moment. Their intention is that the body will have that deficit that's built up, and the calories in excess at that moment will just go towards filling that deficit. But during the time they were creating the deficit, they were obtaining fat loss. That does not work long term. The body adjusts to that concept very quickly, within weeks. The body figures out, okay, you're running me at a deficit. In the moments I have surplus, let me save anything that is a surplus as body fat. Then, in the moments when you're not fueling me, let me slow down and use the least amount of calories possible. So it slows down all the processes of the body and tries to burn less calories. Eventually, what ends up happening is the body slows its metabolism down It does not burn the same amount of calories that it normally would. Therefore, you have to continue to try to eat less. Eventually, there becomes a, I can't eat any less than this. And then your results stall out and you don't make any progress. There are ways to mask this process in terms of how horrible you'll feel, which is HCG shots. People will take those shots, and one of the side effects of the chemical they're putting in you, the drug they're putting in you, is that you don't get hungry. The same process is still occurring, but you just don't notice it. Now, in the meantime, is intermittent fasting something that, if you wanted to use it to spark a certain percentage of fat loss off, and then switch to a healthier way of eating? Just go to the healthy way first. So take the time to learn the right way rather than doing this fake way that promises quick results. But like we said, the longer you do it, ruins your metabolism and slows it down. And then you'll just have to heal the body afterwards. But during the healing process, it won't lose any fat. So you can lose a lot of fat now and then hold steady as you heal your body. Or you can do it correctly and slowly lose the fat within the exact same amount of time that you would have the fast plus the healing phase. So it's much better to just lose it the right way. So that's the first thing we want to consider when we ask whether a food is good or bad, is the amount. Am I having too much of it at this moment? Then it would be a bad food because it's going to go against what we want to do at that moment. If I'm having the right amount of it at that time, then it can be a good food. It can be okay. So people who track calories and say you're out with friends at a social dinner and you normally would have chicken and rice, but you're with friends, you're having a good time, you want to have some chips and guacamole. As long as you are able to portion control the chips and guacamole to the same calories as the chicken and rice, you're not going to notice really much of a difference in regards to overall results of the diet. It is best to keep these trade-offs to a minimum. You can't trade off, you know, ice cream for chicken and rice every day. There eventually does become a negative a cumulative effect. But from time to time, you know, social events once, twice a week, as long as I control my amounts, if I want to have some quote-unquote fun foods, that can be okay. We can still make progress, but we can still feel like we have freedom to make fun choices. The second thing we want to look for is, what is the purpose of the food I'm eating? Does it do what I need it to do when I eat it? One example of this concept is a ketogenic diet. They say carbs, in a sense, are bad and they should be reduced. They do still promote you to eat fruits, even vegetables, and other types of carbs, but there is a stigma against carbs created in a ketogenic diet. Are carbs really a bad food? No, not at all. What makes them a bad food is that people don't eat them in the appropriate amounts, and people don't eat them at the appropriate time. Hence why we're talking about that in this podcast, is if I choose carbs, but I have the right amounts and I have them at the right time, they can be the right nutrient. They can be a good food. An example of this is carbohydrates are a faster digesting energy source than fats. Protein is really mostly used for repair and maintenance and work in the body. We use carbs and fats mostly for energy. Carbs are a fast form of energy. Fats are a slow form of energy. If I'm eating food, consuming calories, before a highly active period, such as a workout, if that meal is close to the workout, it is best for me to have carbohydrates because they can digest within the time before the workout, so I can actually use those calories during the workout. So a client of one of my trainers that I help consult with. So I have about half my clients are trainers, and then we discuss their clients quite often. So one of my trainers that I work with clients, one of my trainer's clients, was having like stomach issues when they would do workouts. And she would throw up sometimes, get real sick over sometimes, get overheated sometimes. And the trainer said, I don't understand. She, you know, she eats calories. And she and the trainer showed me what the person was eating. They showed me the workouts. The workouts weren't too intense. The person was eating enough calories. The problem was they were digesting fats very close to the workout. Fats take hours to digest. This person was having a kind of smoothie drink thing that had a lot of fats in it. They were having that drink and then trying to work out like 10 to 15 minutes later. The body did not have enough time to process that food. So when they were exercising, their body said, wow, I need to send blood to the stomach to digest the food. But I also have this demand to send blood to the muscles so the muscles can work. The body does not understand that the workout we're doing can be something that doesn't really need to be maximally fueled. We can just kind of make our way through it, fudge our way through it. It thinks, okay, well, if you keep performing set after set of challenge versus challenge, I'm going to need to make sure I have enough blood to those muscles so I can meet that demand. If the food in my stomach is competing with the blood requirement for the muscles, our body will just get rid of the food in the stomach. Hence, you'll throw up because the body says, I don't have time for that right now. I can't do anything with that. Get that out of here so I can focus on the muscles. So we get sick and we throw up. It's because we had the wrong food for the time we were having it. Fats are a good food, but not 10 minutes before the workout. Likewise, carbs are a good food, but not 10 minutes before we go to bed. Since we said they're a fast-digesting energy source, if I'm about to lay on my butt and do nothing, I don't want carbohydrates at that time. So the purpose, the timing, does it do what we need it to do when we eat it? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. So the two questions I'd like you to ask yourself when you're trying to decide whether a food is good or bad. Number one, am I having the right amount given my current situation? If I'm highly active, I can have a high amount. If I have low activity, I should have a low amount. Does my food quantity match my activity? Am I having the right amount given my current situation? Question number two, am I having the right type given my current situation? If I'm about to be active, I want to have carbohydrates as my energy source over fats. If I'm inactive at the time of the meal, I want to have fats as my energy source instead of carbohydrates. So the questions again are, am I having the right amount given my current situation? And am I having the right type given my current situation? Those are the two questions we need to ask ourselves. And that'll help us decide whether a food is quote-unquote good or quote-unquote bad. There are no outright automatically bad foods. There are no outright automatically good foods. You just have to have the right amount at the right time. Cool. Hopefully that helps. So thank you to everybody who listens to the podcast. I appreciate everybody who shares it. I think this would be a good podcast to share because this is a very common asked question. So if you don't mind and you're in the sharing mood, please share this podcast. You can share the podcast. You can even like the podcast. You can follow us. Just more interactions with the podcast, the better it helps the ratings so people can find the podcast sooner in searches and things like that. So Not only is sharing the information helpful to your family and friends, it also helps grow the podcast to reach new family and friends. So thank you if you do share the podcast. I do sincerely appreciate it, and I thank you for the support. Also, if you like this type of information, you can always find more from us on our social media channels, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, under the name Brutal Iron Jim. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email at brutalironjim@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.